Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're delighted to have you on board as we again face the issues. Now, perhaps I need to say, brethren, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps I just need to be politically correct and use the words, hey, you. If you go by what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and those in Washington are doing, especially in the House where they've set up new rules and regulations and guidelines on the proper gender term and terminology to be used, they've set some new gender-free rules in the House of Representatives. No more man, no more woman, no more mother, no more father, or any other distinctive gender references are to be used in the House of Representatives today. Nancy Pelosi's Facebook, however, she still refers to herself as a mother and a grandmother. I don't know what she's going to do to change that, but ladies and gentlemen, we'll be discussing that and much, much more today as we talk about the difficulties we're in and where we're headed as a nation. But more focused, we will be talking about the latter portion of the broadcast in particular. We'll be talking about the forced vaccinations that's coming. It's on the fast track. It's on a global basis already being put in place. It's being studied and postulated in the Houses of Representatives and the Senates across America today. And it's going to be pushed from some of these left coast and right coast states, and it will trickle down. We're headed for that with Big Brother. We've gone through a year of preparation of summation, and they're going to increase the push to control we the people. We are becoming more and more sheeple rather than people. We'll be talking about that today. But as we face the issues, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm still going to refer to you as that, let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is a matter of looking at what the Scripture says and what is truth based on the word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Our freedom, ladies and gentlemen, comes from God himself through the lordship of Jesus Christ, through the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's truth. Jesus himself says in John 14:6, I am truth. And then he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So one of the things that I want us to understand, and I emphasize this each and every day on this broadcast as we face the issues, the Bible is the truth book. It's the source book. Excuse me. It's where we need to go when we're searching for answers and want to have wisdom. That word wisdom means we, God gives us the ability to use the knowledge that he gives us. It's through the word of God. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the secularist George Orwell said many years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We're living in that day. We're living in that era. We're living in that time frame where truth is a commodity that is not sought after. It is not welcomed. It is not recognized. In fact, it is demeaned and rejected in the society in which we're living in today. This is the reason I have appreciated so much Jan Hus's statement. Jan Hus was a 15th century theologian and church reformer. Jan Hus said this, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's rapidly becoming the era in which we live, is that we will place our lives on the line as we stand for truth. And ladies and gentlemen, if I can just tuck this little statement in, if Joe Biden goes into office, we will indeed, hear me, we will indeed face persecution and prosecution as a Christian, as churches, as religious entities and organizations, more so than in the history of the church since the first century church. It's very serious. Some are asleep. Some pastors are nonchalant. Some Christians are looking at it on the basis, well, we've gone through bad days before. We've gone through the Clinton administration. We've survived through the Obama administration. And so what's the difference? The difference is, ladies and gentlemen, the clock is ticking. We're moving closer and closer to the day and time in which God says enough is enough, and the church is raptured out. Yes, that's the next thing on the calendar of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, to answer all of your questions about landscape equipment, power backup equipment. They have a full staff that can answer all your questions for the homeowner as well as for the professional in that field. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a wonderful benchmark, a landmark, that you can find Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole flying at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Oh, glory, the U.S. flag is flowing 24-7. Ladies and gentlemen, find that flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, what will you do? How will you respond if Joe Biden is in office and there's a forced, by law, forced mandate for continual mask wearing, infinitum, no end to it, and forced vaccinations, and the control of your health, the control of your movement, the control of where you can go, the full control on what you can buy or sell, the full control on economic system and the businesses. How will we respond as a Christian, as conservatives? What will we do? How shall we respond? But ladies and gentlemen, in the House of Representatives, they are more concerned about our gender terminology than they are about all of these other things. Here's an article. It says, Democrats propose major change to the House rules, eliminating family language for gender-inclusive alternatives. Let me just read you a little evidence. If it were not so sad, it'd be absolutely laughable. House Democrats unveiled proposed changes to the House rules on Friday, including the elimination of all gendered language and to make permanent the recently established House Office of Diversity and Inclusion. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Rules Committee Chairman James McGovern, Democrat of Massachusetts, claimed that changing pronouns and familial relationships in the House rules to be gender neutral are necessary changes meant to honor all gender identities. Instead of words like father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, uncle or aunt, first cousin, nephew, niece, husband, wife, father-in-law, mother-in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, stepfather, stepmother, stepson, stepdaughter, stepbrother, stepsister, half-brother, half-sister, grandson or granddaughter, the proposed rules say that the House should use language like parent, child, sibling, parent-sibling, first cousin, sibling's child, spouse, parent-in-law, child-in-law, sibling-in-law, step-parent, step-child, step-siblings, half-siblings, or grandchild, end quote. Further, according to this article, ladies and gentlemen, rather than calling it seafarers, they call it seafarers rather than seamen, call it chair rather than chairman, use the word resign instead of saying submit his or her resignation, themselves instead of himself or herself. The rules will be voted on after the 117th Congress is sworn in on Sunday. They'll vote on that sometimes this week, ladies and gentlemen, making it a permanent aspect of the rules in the House of Representatives. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a good example of the absolute irrationality and an alternative universe that our representatives are living in Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Pelosi, of course, is one of the elitist, and therefore she doesn't have to follow the rules of the underclass. She's the ruling class, you must understand. And in a socialist, Marxist, BLM, democratic, communist organization or structure, the ruling class is the one that makes the decision. They themselves make the decision on what they want. Nancy Pelosi has already proven that when she went to get her hair done in the salon and others could not in the state of California. Nancy Pelosi then sits on one of the spots that she had put out on television where she's eating ice cream, her $50 a gallon ice cream, drawn out of her, some say $5,000, others say $10,000, whatever it is, very expensive freezer. And she's talking about her special recipe ice cream. But ladies and gentlemen, this is where America's headed if we lose this Senate race in Georgia today. I'm not going to focus on that extensively, but we must say this. Raphael Warnock claims to be a preacher. He's an Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, the former pulpit of Martin Luther King. Warnock is an apostate preacher. He is a lost, demonically controlled individual. He's the one that's asked God to damn America in three different messages from the pulpit. He is a protege of Reverend Wright, which was the pastor for Barack Hussein Obama. He is the one that cannot condemn socialism, communism, or Marxism. He's unwilling to condemn it. He's one that says that you cannot serve God in the military. He's the one that said that God, through God's word, authorizes murder by way of abortion because it's a woman's right. Now, of course, he didn't use the word murder. I am. He is simply saying and doing everything that's antithetical to the word of God. If credentials at all, they are absolutely farcical, absolutely laughable. We're not so sad. But he's going under the banner of being a religious person, a Christian, a pastor, which is a sham. I just said recently, 20 years ago, he wouldn't have gotten any traction at all. 20 years ago, he'd been laughed at, never would have been able to do application and pay his fees to run for the office. He would not have been able to run for any office in any other category, much less for the United States Senate. And the one that is on the other side of the coin running also in the state of Georgia, that is Ossoff. He is a little miniaturized communist. He doesn't know what work really is. He is has inherited much wealth. He is on the payroll of the Chinese Communist Party, and running for the Senate for the United States of America. Now, let me just simply say, if those two or either one of those get elected to the U.S. Senate, we're in not just bad shape, but we're on the banana peel on the high side of the mountain, going down the slippery slope into the abyss of a socialistic nation with no brakes to be put on, no stoppage for it whatsoever. That's where we are. That's the seriousness of this day. Even though the election is in Georgia, it absolutely is a harbinger of things to come for all of America if that takes place. We need to understand the danger that we're in and what is taking place today. In fact, Franklin Graham perhaps says it best. Let me just read you a brief article. Franklin Graham says, if progressives rule, and if progressives happens to be a milder term than Marxist, socialist, and communist, but all being the same. If progressives rule, we won't even recognize this nation. Let me read you two brief paragraphs from this article from Franklin Graham. Representatives Nancy Pelosi and Jim McGovern announced a set of changes to the House rules to enshrine what they call gender-inclusive language. Reverend Graham wrote on Twitter Sunday, "Can you believe that they actually proposed to strike the use of words including father, mother, son, aunt, uncle, and wife? These proposed changes will be voted on as soon as the House enters its new session." Franklin Graham continued, quote, "God created them, male and female created he them," Genesis 1:27. "It's just a fact," Franklin Graham said. "If those claiming the name of progressives are allowed to have their way, we won't even recognize this nation in a very short period of time." Last Friday, Pelosi and McGovern unveiled the visionary rules, which contain future-focused proposals such as the elimination of gender terms, such as father, mother, son, and daughter. This package, which will be introduced and voted on once the new Congress convenes, includes sweeping ethics reforms, increases accountability for American people, and makes this House of Representatives the most inclusive in history, said the House Committee on Rules statement. The rules would require Congress to honor all genders, all gender identities, by changing pronouns and familiar relationships in the family and the House rules to be gender neutral. Ladies and gentlemen, Franklin Graham says, and I repeat his statement, if progressives rule, we won't even recognize this nation. And what they've done with those rules on changing the pronouns is just simply a little tip of the iceberg of where things are and where things shall be if it continues in that direction. And a good example that further accentuates Franklin Graham's statement about we won't even recognize this nation is the opening prayer that they had for their 117th Congress. Prayer to open the 117th Congress ended with amen and a woman. you heard me right. The prayer ended with amen and a woman. Let me just read you a brief statement from this article about that. Democratic Missouri Representative Emanuel Cleaver ended his prayer to open the 117th Congress on Sunday with the words amen and a woman. Video of the prayer's ending was posted on Twitter by Republican Pennsylvania Representative Guy Rosenthaler, who pointed out that the word amen is a Latin word for let it be so. It's not gendered word. It's not a gendered word. Unfortunately, facts are irrelevant. To progressives, the unbelievable takes place. This article says, he's closing his prayer now. Listen to his prayer. We ask in the name of the monolithic God and the God known by many names and by many different faiths, amen and a woman. He's an ordained Methodist pastor. Could you expect any less? The article says, Cleaver's prayer comes after the Rules Committee proposed changes to the House rules to honor all gender identities by modifying the pronouns, et cetera, et cetera. He was simply instituting that in his prayer. Here's a little further identification of this apostate's prayer. The headline on this article says, House Democrats ends prayer with amen and a woman gets destroyed by Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is a conservative radio television talk show host. Ben Shapiro is a good man from a conservative standpoint. Ben Shapiro is a Jewish man that is not Christian, not saved. That sets the stage. But listen to what Ben Shapiro has to say about this apostate preacher and his diatribe called a prayer. In a demonstration of political correctness run amok, Reverend Emanuel Cleaver, Representative Emanuel Cleaver, Democrat of Missouri, offered the opening prayer 117th Congress, ending with the invocation, Amen and A-Woman. Cleaver saw a decision to end the prayer with sponsored gender inclusivity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Here's what he says. Not only did Cleaver conclude the prayer by an unorthodox, supposed gender-inclusive ending, the entire prayer was riddled with politically correct statements. In fact, Cleaver, despite being an ordained Methodist minister, appeared to endorse universalism, omnism, the idea that all religions lead to the same deity. He says, and this is part of his prayer, we ask these things in the name of the monolithic God, Brahma, and God known by many, many names, different faiths, Amen and A-Woman, Cleaver said in ending his prayer. Ben Shapiro, then, an Orthodox Jew, explained the common endings used in such prayers of faith. Amen is a biblical Hebrew word that communicates affirmation or support in the context of the prayer conclusion by means, may it be so, or let it be so. Amen is a biblical Hebrew word. It is a word simply meaning, may it be so. You finish your prayer, you're asking God to do this, et cetera, et cetera, and you say, Amen, may it be so. It has nothing, Ben Shapiro further says, has nothing to do with the word man or woman, because it is from Hebrew, Shapiro reacted. This is some of the dumbest stuff I have ever seen in my life. In fact, biblical Hebrew is an inflected language, meaning grammatical gender is built into the language system. Grammatical gender is completely unrelated to the human gender, according to the Hebrew text. That's Ben Shapiro correcting an idiot, if I can be very blunt, that claims to be a reverend. And, of course, that should not surprise us. That kind of stuff takes place in Washington, and they ain't got sense enough to know the difference. In fact, here's an article that says 2020 has been a year like no other. Everything we know, everything we trust, everything we've ever come to rely upon has also automatically changed. So how could we expect the U.S. election to be any different? Mainstream media are telling us the race is over. Biden has won. Time to move on. Nothing to see. Don't look at this, folks. But in your gut, you know, something is just not right. It just is not right. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in an era that we've not traveled before. We're going down a pathway today. In fact, this week, ladies and gentlemen, this week will determine where we're going as a nation. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Feel free to jump in the dialogue and discussion at any point and place that you'd like to. Love to respond to your questions, your comments. What do you think about the Trump followers that will be in Washington, D.C. this week? I understand about 1 million people will be there from all across the nation. The mayor, Bowser, I think her name is, the mayor of Washington has already called out the National Guard to police the streets. She has shut down the restaurants and the hotels to make sure that the Trump supporters will be uncomfortable in being in Washington, D.C. She's the very one that had BLM painted on the street on Pennsylvania Avenue. She's the one that said that Trump is the problem when there were major problems in Washington. She refused to allow the National Guard to come in and police the streets against BLM and Antifa. But now she's got National Guard policing the streets against the Trump supporters. She calls them Trump demonstrators, the Trump demonstrators. She didn't have any problem with BLM and Antifa demonstrators, but all of a sudden the Trump demonstrators are bad people. She needs to protect the city against them. Ladies and gentlemen, we're already watching. Our laws are being implemented to force our citizens to continue to be locked down. We're watching as the laws are increasingly put into effect on a national basis for the businesses and the churches to remain closed and to force citizens to be to wear masks and to force citizens to ultimately be vaccinated. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the goal of a socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party. And this is the reason it's so imperative for the state of Georgia for conservatives and especially as Christians to vote. Perhaps you're listening to me today and you live in parts of Georgia. I would recommend that Don't sit on the sideline. Don't expect someone else to do it. Go vote. In fact, may I say at the risk of being chided about it, as Christian conservative Republicans, we need to vote as Democrats soon and often. It is sad when you look at the numbers, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, of the overvotes. There are some counties in Georgia, some counties in Pennsylvania, some counties in other battleground states that had more voters than had registered voters. Registered voters were overvotes. It is a shocking thing to see, but we need to pray. We need to ask God to intervene. We need to realize where we're headed as a nation and to recognize that we can't, but God can. We need to recognize that God has placed us in a position that if we'd recognize the hand of God, if we recognize the eschatological prophetic text as to where we're going as a nation, as a world, as a people, God's put us in that position that we'll look up, turn to Him, and ask Him to deliver us. We need to ask Him to divinely intervene as He did in 2016 when He placed Trump in office. Ladies and gentlemen, the socialist, Marxist, communist ruling class, yes, in America today, we're on the fast track to becoming a full-fledged socialist Marxist nation. Now, I just made a comment this morning in watching some early morning news. Some of the commentators were talking about, and some of the political candidates were talking about the fact that we're on the fast track for becoming a socialist Marxist communist nation. I've been saying that for years in watching what is taking place. For the past 1 year, I've talked about extensively the dangers if we have a Joe Biden administration. A Biden-Harris administration will be antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth, be antithetical to anything that's called Christianity or a friendly to religious liberties. It'll be antithetical to anything that's called a Constitution or Bill of Rights. We're fast becoming a socialist Marxist nation. And you might ask the question, as a pastor, as a theologian, as a preacher, as a Christian, why would I be so passionate about, why would I be so interested in the warning of the danger of socialism, Marxism, and communism in America? It's because, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing, the very first thing that will be lost in America under a dictatorial communist rule of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be our Bill of Rights, our constitutional liberties, our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech, our right to keep and bear arms. Ladies and gentlemen, that's already being dissipated. Already we're watching it being, if you please, eviscerated and in some cases totally annihilated. And that's happening. The stage is being set, has been for the past year, where incrementally the leftist, the lunatoons on the left, the socialist, Marxist, elitist advocates, they have been setting the stage by getting America ready, by bringing about incremental submission to their rules and their regulations called executive orders by governors and mayors. It's what I call a training session, the submission sessions. For example, we've had the forced lockdowns, businesses closed. We were told that the business would close for 2 weeks. In fact, the announcement went out that we're going to take 15 days for all business to close, all churches to close, so we can flatten the curve of COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, that was not the real intent. That has never happened. The whole point was to start the submission process and to see if we, the people, would bow and bend and accept that and do that and enact that. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got just about a minute's break at the top of the hour for the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.